Caroline Willie D. Mays for broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where buzz is always about great service. So Adam Vingan has a great breakdown on Sportsnet, and the headline is, did the Nashville Predators peak too early? Adam Vingan joins the show now as D-Maze is breaking down the robot. Adam Vingan joins us now. Adam, really appreciated that read. It was a great read and great context to kind of the question that a ton of callers and texters and listeners have been asking us. But before we get into the numbers and your breakdown and your thoughts on this team, overall, do you buy into the idea of peaking too early? Because I've struggled with this myself. Sometimes I think it's just, you know, sports fan fear-mongering.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, there have been plenty of studies about late-season momentum and whether or not that actually matters in sports. And, you know, for me, I would agree with you, Caroline, that oftentimes I feel like, just anecdotally, that peaking too soon is not necessarily an actual concept. But I agree with, you know, what you also said in terms of how Predators fans were reacting to the team's struggles after the point streak ended, which is what compelled me to write that story on Tuesday. It was released before the Jets game, so it did not include statistics from the Jets game. It was from the Arizona loss, the first game after, you know, the game that ended the point streak to the most recent game against the New Jersey Devils at the time. So when I looked at it, basically what I came up with was, I'm not concerned about this team offensively. They're still generating high quality offense. They're not putting the puck in the net as much, but those things ebb and flow. But in terms of generating high quality offense, I'm not concerned about that with the Predators. The thing that I'm sort of concerned about is their defensive play, because during that point streak, they were excellent defensively. I think that went, I think that flew under the radar a little bit because they were scoring a lot of goals, but they were playing outstanding defense during that 18-game stretch. And over the previous six games, so not including Winnipeg, they had been pretty porous defensively. And as Willie said, it's concentrated in the game against Arizona, Colorado, and St. Louis. But still, a far cry from what the Predators were doing during the 18-game point streak. Now, you know, I looked at the numbers from the Jets game before we came on the air. I mean, the Predators still had the better of play. They still generated more expected goals, which means they were getting more high-quality chances. But look at all of the goals that the Jets scored. They were all from the slot, which is what I was talking about, that the Predators have struggled in the past couple of weeks to protect that area directly in front of the net. And UC Soros is an outstanding goaltender, but there's only so much that even an outstanding goaltender can do when he's facing grade-A chances far more frequently than he was over the previous 6 weeks. So, for me, the most important thing that the Predators need to do over these next few regular season games is shore up defensively. Like I said, I'm not worried about them offensively. The pucks will eventually go back in the net at the same rate that they did before because of the quality of offense they're generating. But the defensive play, they definitely need to tighten that up before the playoffs start.
To what would you attribute that defensive drop off?
Yeah, that's a good question. I can't say definitively. I think Willie would have a better response as someone who watches the team more closely than I do these days. But looking at the numbers, which I know is only part of the equation, you have to look at the eye test as well, and maybe Willie can provide that context. But looking at just the numbers, the shots that they're giving up from the slot, and specifically the inner slot, like directly in front of the crease, have ballooned over the past six, seven games compared to the point streak. So this is where I would insert Willie to maybe offer more of that eye test context.
Yeah, and I thought about it a lot after I read your article, Adam, and I definitely just caught the game in Colorado is kind of its own animal. I do think that they got a lot of those. I thought they were just very sloppy defensively against the Blues, which contributed to a lot. The Winnipeg game was interesting. I thought they were concentrated a lot in that first period, And then I thought they made another surge, the Jets, towards the end of the game after the Predators tied it. There was a little pushback by the Jets where they got some. So I don't know if it's like one guy breaking down or one defense pair breaking down or forwards not doing their job. I don't know if it's one specific thing. So that's a hard question for me to answer. Nothing comes to mind for me as to why that happened. I do think against Arizona there were some very sloppy turnovers, and when you turn it over, that's when you start giving up those kind of chances, right? Because you're not back. You're not set in your defense, and they've got numbers on you.
Yeah, I guess we saw that in what game? I think, was it the Arizona game?
Arizona, for sure. Yeah,
where
the Blues, for sure. Yeah.
Now, Adam,
I think how Gill has made this point, sometimes if your neutral zone play drops off some and the other team is winning the battles in the neutral zone, sometimes that turns around and causes you to give up more scoring chances.
Now, Adam, in regards to the shots in the slot, does that account for power plays as well? Or is power play outside of that?
This is all situation. This is all situation. So it includes even strength, power play, and penalty kill. Mm-hmm. You know, you can break it down, you can break it down strength by strength. If you just want to look at it 5-on-5, just want to look at it on the penalty kill. For this story, I was looking at all situations, so all 60 minutes of the game.
Now, in regards to their defense, because in your article, and people, you need to read it on Sportsnet. It's a really good article by Adam. You talk about how this team has improved from last year from the defensive side of the ice. Shouldn't that be an indicator? They're a top 10 team in regards to defense. Shouldn't that be more of an indicator of how they're going to be once they enter into the playoff? And just this was just like one of those patches in a season, a long season, that on a defensive end, you may become a little lax at times.
Yeah, and that was my larger point, was that just based at the time of publication, the Predators, I believe, were ninth in the league in expected goals against per game. Mm-hmm. So even that included those six games that I isolated. So even with that porous overall defensive play in those six games, they were still a top 10 defensive team. So that suggests to me that what they went through in that stretch was an outlier. And it's just about getting back to where they were before those previous six games. So that's why I'm not concerned about them, quote unquote, peaking too soon, because I just think that the offense is still generating at a ridiculous rate in terms of quality. The defensive play has suffered, but it should be okay. So that's why my thesis was, it would be wrong to write off the Predators as a pardon my pun here, paper tiger, based off of the six games that they went 2-4.
Adam, let's get into another subject too, which I think is on the top of everybody's mind. Is the matchup now that they're in, and now that some more games have been played since we last talked, it really does look like it's going to be one of three teams, and I would have said two up until last night, but there is the door open for the Oilers to surge past the Vancouver Canucks in this last week and take the number one seed. So let's start with the Oilers, right? Vancouver's still in good shape. They have the tiebreaker over the Oilers, so the Oilers have to have more points than the Canucks. But the Oilers, we talk about all these numbers, and you look at sports logic like I do, the Oilers have the best numbers, the underlying numbers of any team. So that, to me, would be noteworthy. If it's the Oilers that wins the Pacific, that all of a sudden becomes, I think, a tougher matchup.
Yes, and I'm glad you pointed that out, Willie, because according to sport logic, as of this morning, the Oilers are the second likeliest first-round opponent for the Predators. It was
really?
It was the Canucks at 53.6% and the Oilers at 30.2%. I don't know what the stars are because I only just see the top two, but it's Vancouver 1 and Edmonton 2, which is Jared Stillman's worst nightmare, and I texted him that earlier today.
The Oilers are his worst nightmare, or the Canucks are?
The Oilers are his worst nightmare.
Yeah, I've looked at a couple of these sites. Obviously, if the Predators end up as wild card two, they're going to play the Stars, is how that works. So the other two, it's whoever wins the Pacific between the Canucks and the Oilers. And because the Oilers beat Vegas last night, coupled with the fact that the Kings blew a game against the Ducks, that gives Nashville a better chance to hang on to wild card one. But wild card one seemingly would be the better spot, but maybe not if the Oilers win the Pacific.
I mean, keep in mind that since the Oilers, I mean, they got off to a terrible start. They lost 10 of their first 13 games. Then they fired their coach, Jake Woodcroft. They brought in Chris Knobloch. Their record under Knobloch is 45-15-4. Mm. They have just been plowing through teams. And keep in mind, last night they beat the Vegas Golden Knights 5-1 without Connor McDavid. McDavid is nursing an injury. It's not expected to keep him out for any significant period of time. But they beat Vegas last night 5-1 without Connor McDavid. And Predators fans know what Connor McDavid and specifically Leon Draisaitl are capable of against the Predators specifically.
I'm starting to sweat right now as you say that. I'm getting a little cold.
Yeah.
Like,
we've talked about this before. Like, I was pretty steadfast that I thought Dallas was the best matchup for the Predators, but that was before they went on their, 8-game winning streak. The reason why I picked the Stars as the preferred opponent was because I thought of the goaltenders they could face, Jake Oettinger was the most vulnerable in terms of his overall statistics. These are Jake Oettinger's recent numbers. In his past 8 starts, he's 8-0 with a .163 goals against average and .939 save percentage. No thank you.
maybe he's due to come back to early.
Yeah, maybe he peaked already.
Maybe he peaked too early. Exactly. That's the yeah. phrase of the hour.
Yeah, second edition of your article, Adam.
Yes. Just peaked the Stars also have 8 players with 20 goals. No other team has more than 6 players with 20 goals. They have 3 20-goal scorers on their first line, 3 20-goal scorers on their second line, and 2 20-goal scorers on their third line. So, to me, I've changed my opinion on this. I do think that the Canucks are the most advantageous matchup for a couple of reasons. One, they haven't been playing well for a while. Since the All-Star break, they're 15-11-4, so they've won 15 games and they've lost 15 games. They got off to a fantastic start, but they've been playing slightly above .500 hockey for the past 2 months. The other thing is the Canucks are reminiscent of, I was thinking about this morning, the Canucks of this year are reminiscent of, I think, Predators teams in the early Peter Laviolette days in terms of they need to learn how to win in the postseason. Their best players do not have significant postseason experience. Quinn Hughes, Elias Pettersson, and Brock Besser have each played a total of 17 playoff games in their careers. And it was during the 2020 bubble playoffs. Then keep in mind how much the Predators have played in the playoffs. Roman Josi's played 85 playoff games, Forsberg 75, Nyquist 71, O'Reilly 75. He's won a Stanley Cup and a Conn Smythe. The only active player who has played more playoff games than Ryan McDonagh, who's played 185, is Corey Perry, who I believe has played 196. So the Predators have a distinct advantage in experience. So I wonder if this is the year where the Canucks, quote unquote, learn how to win, but don't ultimately win. Like, this is like, to me, I wonder if this year for the Canucks is like the 2016 playoffs for the Predators when they went to 7 games with Anaheim and 7 games with San Jose. I'm wondering if this is that year for the Canucks. So something tells me that they might be ripe for an upset. So with all of that said, I think the Canucks might be the best matchup. But when I told Jared this morning that the Predators had a better chance of playing the Oilers than the Stars in the first round of the playoffs, I think that terrified the
Well, last night, if you didn't see it, the Canucks, they had to come from behind to get the game to overtime against Arizona. They had a penalty shot in the overtime, a shorthanded penalty shot chance that was created, and they didn't get it. Then they gave up a goal, so they only got 1 point. So up by 4 points over the Oilers, but the Oilers have 2 games in hand. The next game, Canucks at Oilers on Saturday. So we'll know a lot more after that.
That's a gigantic game. That's appointment viewing. I feel like if you're a hockey fan in general, like, that's a game I would make time to watch just because of what that game could mean. But yeah, no matter who the Predators draw, it's going to be tough. All of those teams have significant strength. That's why they're challenging for division titles. And the Stars, by the way, could clinch the Central Division tonight. They play Winnipeg. If the Stars win in any fashion, they clinch the Central Division. So that's something to keep in mind as well.
Adam, we could talk to you all day long, but unfortunately we have to let you go. But we'll catch up with you soon, and we really appreciate your time.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Appreciate it. Adam Vingan, go check out his article on Sportsnet.com. If you're one of those who's been concerned about the Predators peaking too early, go give it a read. But I do want to touch on what we just touched on with Adam there. The most optimal matchup for the Predators going into the playoffs and how things may have changed. We'll get into that coming up next. And hey, score big this spring with Lee Company and the Nashville Predators in the 10K Power Play giveaway. Enter for a chance to win a Kohler home generator or $10,000 toward Lee Company Home Services. That's right, a Kohler home generator or $10,000 toward Lee Company Home Services. So go online to leecompany.com/giveaway to enter. That's leecompany.com/giveaway in the 10K Power Play giveaway. Contest entries are accepted until Saturday, April 20th. Lee Company, all you need.